Well, good morning. It's good to be home. We had a great trip. And it's fun to be able to report all that went on, at least part of what went on down there. Guatemala has become real dear to my heart, and the people down there are just wonderful. And I feel like I know that Jack and Naomi and Erica, we all learn, Sheffield too, we all learn quite a bit when we travel, but this place in particular has so many things about it that are instructive, so many things that I feel like I'm learning each time I go. Some of those things are really not on my notes here, but I'll get to it real fast. Some of the things just come from the leadership down there. The city leadership is not a voted leadership. People nominate, actually it's voted, I guess, but people don't run for office in the city council. They are voted based on their character. How would that be? That's just like refreshing to think about. So what you have is men of one wife with families that are intact who people say, no, you need to be one of our key city leaders. And they have, you know, five or six of these leaders. They call them the Kokode. And I feel like I learned so much from these men who are courageous and faithful, as well as the women and the families are just really, really amazing and strong. I want to do something kind of different today. I want to read Psalm 96 together, the first six verses. Can we bring that up, Captain Ethan? Psalm 96, 1 through 6. Let's have the women read the odd verses and the men do the even. Kind of fun, kind of Lutheran-ish. Here we go, ladies.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim new tidings of salvation from day to day.
Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, great to be praised. He is here to the earth.
Father, I pray you would open up our hearts, open up our minds in a special way as only you can to help us understand not only this passage, but the things you want to teach us this morning, what you want to instruct us from the worship that Patrick led earlier, from the fellowship that we had over pancakes and breakfast, and over your word here, that we trust that you use it all to lead us and guide us, to reshape us, to open up our hearts and minds so we can Lord, serve you in a greater capacity. And that's what we long to do. In Christ's name, amen. So I think here in this passage, I love this psalm, there are three key verbs. And this is kind of how I want to unpack this Guatemala adventure we had. And so some of the stories will kind of come out of this, I hope. Three key verbs: sing, proclaim, and tell. That's kind of the format of what I want to talk about. To sing. It's interesting that he commands us to sing, right? In the ESV, he says it three times. I think in the NASV, it's only twice. But three times, he commands us to sing. Sing. And I have a little video here for you of a singer, one of my very favorite singers in all the world. I think an amazing upcoming artist. You'll probably hear about him soon. But can we play this little clip? It's incredible. This always moves me whenever I see this guy perform. That's funny. So I'm sitting there with Sheffield. That's the middle of our medical clinic, and I was off with some boys and girls over there. And I said, Sheffield, you want to sing a song? I didn't skip a beat. Just stepped right in front, started singing. He was singing things like, and Jesus comes to earth and comes from heaven. He just like, just, see, it was so awesome. Erica got the video out right away. He went on for, it had to be 20 minutes. Came over, hugged me. Can I sing another one? Sing another one. It warmed my heart to see him, first of all, because he was singing about things that he loved. And a lot of times, poo-poo and pee-pee come in there. Obviously, he's three, right? For those listening on podcasts all around the world, he's three. Little guy. Sings about dogs and cats and flowers and rainbows. He thinks about things he loves, right? And the reason I thought about this video, I wanted to play this video for, because I think that's probably what the psalmist is saying, right? So why do we sing? What are the things that we sing? What are the things that you find yourself wanting to sing about? And think about the connotation that singing brings with it, right? More than just saying or telling or describing, more than writing even, to sing something is another level of appreciation, another level of adoration, I think is probably a good word, right? You sing about stuff. You know who sings? Our British soccer fans, right? It's awesome. That's one of my dreams to go to a game, right? Because you can hear it on TV, kind of muffled. But these guys, I mean, they sing from the beginning of the game, before the game, before the kickoff. And they sing all the way through to the end, until after. And usually by the end, they're singing mean things if their team lost, like, you should go to hell. You know, they're singing these not so praiseworthy things, but they're singing, right? And if they win or if they're winning, if they're up, the songs become louder and more praiseworthy because they love it. Right? And a lot of the people that I've talked to, a lot of British folks who are big soccer fans, say that's one of their favorite parts, is singing with their fellow fans, right? Because they love this game. They love soccer unlike anything in the States in terms of our sporting events, right? It's unbelievable how different it is. But they love, and they sing from this deep place of passion. We sing. Singing in some ways is very illogical, right? It's abstract. It's emotionally driven. And so something about what the psalmist is saying here, I think, is talking about, again, encouraging us to sing about the things we love, things that are dear to us. Full of emotion, again, I said before, respect, devotion, and love. When I fell in love with Erica, I was shocked at the way that she blessed people. I was surprised. This is a new girl I met. I thought she was awesome. I was falling in love with her right away, and it didn't take long for me just to want to start singing her praises to people that I knew, to my parents before they met her, to my buddies back, in San Diego at college. Dude, I met this girl. And in a way, I didn't really sing to them. I could have, by the way I felt. But anyway, I wanted to sing her praise, right? Because I loved her, and I love her still, obviously. But there was something new about this woman that I had just met and how sweetly she treated her friends. I appreciated the joy she brought into even the simplest social gatherings. This idea when you fall in love, you want to sing the praises of the beloved. Parents in here want to sing the praises of their children. It doesn't make any sense. Your kids are wetting their pants, they're pooping their pants, they're doing naughty stuff, but as soon as it gets good, you see that? That's my kid. See that kid? You want to celebrate it, right? Because you love and you adore them. This is where singing comes from, right? This is where the root of singing. The psalmist urges us in this place to identify the ways that we've been blessed by God, to do more than just state them or write them or express them, but to actually sing them. One of my questions as I was kind of writing this up is, how are we, how are you, it's directed at myself, how am I singing God's praise today? It's too easy, right? And I think, in truth, it's very easy to dwell in yellow clouds of complaint. This is kind of how I picture clouds of complaint, just yellow, kind of gross, viral clouds. That's how complaining is, right? It's infectious. It just messes everything up. And it's easy to just kind of get into that. But to carry the cloud around with us, this infectious cloud, can infect every situation that we're in if we're allowing that yellow cloud of complaint to really kind of overwhelm us. After the first two very hot days in the village where we served, we went to Guatemala City, took a bus 4 hours to La Union, 5 hours probably, 5 hours, and then we took a 30-minute truck ride in the back of this truck. That was one of the more fun parts of the day for the kids, I think, being in the back of the truck up this dirt road into El Progreso, about 30 minutes in the hills. It was hot. It was muggy. And we were in this room about the half the size of this auditorium here, half the size here, jammed with probably at least 150 people at certain points of the day. Hot. If there was any breeze, it got stopped by like 14 sweaty bodies at the door. I mean, it was just sweaty and hot. I sweated for 6 days straight. The nurses, we had this team of nurses that had never, none of them had entered really any missions for the most part. None of them had never done any kind of service outside the country, all these nurses. I was blown away at the strength and the patience of these nurses sitting in a hot, sticky room. Some of them, some days, 7 hours in a hot, sticky room seeing one patient after the next. Over 400 people they saw, men, women, and children they saw and visited. As they patiently focused on each of these people, it was amazing. It made me want to sing their praise, right, as I watched this. They didn't carry complaints. I never heard, man, can we get some AC in here? What's this all about? This is so primitive. And it was. There was mosquitoes. They were getting bit all the while over there working on patients. There was bugs. It was not comfortable at all. But all I could notice as I walked around and saw these nurses, and I was kind of the leader of the team, so I would kind of go and check. You guys got water? How you doing? What's going on? How we can fix this rotation? It seemed like they were just in love with these people. It was amazing to see what God was doing through them, right? The affection they poured out on these young people. Our student team as well, that included Erica, Jack, Naomi, Sheffield too, helped organize and shepherd more than 400 people through this clinic. This kind of work is done, I believe, by the strength that God gives us, right? The strength of God working in and through his people. On Saturday, I took a hike up into the hills. It was beautiful, this kind of thick jungle hill in Guatemala. Hiking up, I wanted to hike up with the leadership of the community to see their water source. I invited Jack, and I was shocked because he says to me, "Well, you know what, Dad? I don't know who else can do the eye exams." He was in charge of eye exams for the nursing stations because they would go through, they'd get weighed, they'd do an eye exam. He would put his hand up, and there was no one else that could really do it. And he said, "I don't know who else will do it. So I think I should probably just stay." I was kind of shocked because this kid likes to hike. And he loves being with me. Why wouldn't he? Don't answer that. Yeah. But there was a dedication, right? And this was not, I said, "So what happened to my son? What happened to Jack? What'd you do with my son, Jack?" Because I feel like I should be in this hot, sticky, muggy, mosquito-infested room for 7 hours today instead of hiking through the hills with you. I think I should stay because I don't know who else will do the eye exam part because we're pretty low on staff. I was shocked, right? Beautiful to see God working in so many powerful ways through the team, through the people around us. These are things to sing about. I marvel at the sacrifice of the group, the sacrifice of the people around me, the energy God gave each team member to really give of themselves. When we see God moving in those around us, we must sing his praise. We must speak of it. It's important. He deserves it, first of all, but people around us need to hear it. They need to hear why you're lifted up. What makes you say, "Oh, this is good. Right? This right here is good. I see something good happening." People need it around us. So it's good for the community, but it's also good for God, right? He allows us this ability to praise and bless him. How incredible is that? When we witness the faithfulness of God, we must sing out praise. The song we sing may be simply for ourselves at times. I think of ways that I get songs kind of stuck in my head, right? I'm sure that's happened to you, and sometimes it's a really annoying 80s Cyndi Lauper song. I just wrecked it for y'all, right? You got one right there. You got one in your head. I think, what is the track? The question is, what is the track in your head, right? What is the song that's playing in your mind? Is it a song of negativity and complaint? Are you only seeing the things that are ugly or the things that are broken? Is that what's kind of going in your track? Because by God's grace, I pray that would change, right? I ask that he would change that track for me as well to a song of praise, allowing me to see, no. Yeah, there's some brokenness, but you know, we have a God who is faithful. We have a God who is strong. We have a God who is creative. We have a God who loves us. Switch the track. God, help me switch this track. I don't need to be depressed and thinking about these things. I know that you're at work. What is the track playing in your head? May God allow us to see his goodness. This is a gift of God, right? Throughout the scriptures, we see this, that God can change our vision, change our hearts to see things a different way, right? That's a gift of his that he will give us. He will help us switch off the track of complaint and to switch on songs of great hope. That's sing. Next one, proclaim. I'll end with this one here. Just the tell is kind of quick. This one is interesting. Proclaim comes from the Hebrew word basar, which means bear tidings. Has this interesting kind of archaic meaning, which means rub smooth the face of, right? To proclaim is to rub smooth the face of, or rub the face of the surface of a thing to reveal what's underneath it. How cool is that? Right? So we look around us and we see things that are broken. We see things that are despairing. We see things that are hopeless, seemingly so. And yet by God's strength, we rub that surface. We say, you know what, this looks pretty hopeless, but you know what? There's something beneath here that I know by faith that God is at work fixing, restoring, that he is at work here, even in this situation that appears hopeless. And working among the poor, as we've done in many different places around the world, it's very easy to slip into that hopeless cynicism. Oh, we got a corrupt government in Guatemala. We got corrupt city leaders in Guatemala. Supposedly they had all, like,
hundreds of thousands of dollars for water projects in the very village we're working in, and the last mayor stole it all. Easy for you to get kind of ticked off and say, what's the use, man? What's the use? What are you going to do? I can't pay for all this myself, and if we do, some jerk's going to steal it. Could go that way. That's the yellow cloud. Or we could say, you know what, I have a God who can dethrone corrupt politicians. I have a God, I serve a God who can work in the face of, right in the midst of those who are corrupt and sinful. He worked in me. I'm pretty corrupt and sinful in my own flesh. And he worked in me, and he's working in me, he's working in you. And he can do that, and he is doing that in very powerful ways all around the world. I don't want to spend my time and my energy proclaiming theories. Here with proclaiming, it is proclaiming what you know to be true. We have a redemptive, glorious God. He is a creator. He loves us. And he's not giving up. Last part, to tell. I mentioned working on the poor can be a little bit frustrating. But because of our confidence in who he is, we know by faith, we know that he is working and redeeming those things that are corrupt. I'm getting here, fast-forwarding my notes. To tell is the third verb. To tell, again, that there's not a really fancy Hebrew word here. It means to consider or to recount or relate. To tell of his glory among the nations is what the psalmist says. To tell of his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. And this is what I did in Guatemala, right? I told about what I knew that God was doing in my world, in my spheres, in my communities. And I related that to the people that I met and related with there. It is also what I'm doing now, right? I'm telling about the goodness of what God is doing around the world. And hopefully, when we leave here, when you leave here, you will do the same thing among those you know and love. Spread the news of God's great love. Tell others about those stories of hope, of courage, and of faithful service. I love talking about teams of students who raise their own money to serve in poor communities around the world. I love talking about ER nurses. We had a team of ER nurses from some of the best hospitals in the area, high-end hospitals like Hogue and Chalk, St. Joe's Mission Hospital. These women and men who paid their own way to go and serve in mosquito-infested rooms, stuffy, hot places, and had smiles on their faces. I love talking about that. When people tell you that the world is in bad shape, that things are getting worse and worse, please make me this promise. Please promise me that you will at least mention, however softly it might be, that you heard today about a really neat thing. Right? At least one thing. And I know there's more than just one. But you heard about one today. Each of you is witness to what I've told you. You heard about something that's happening in Guatemala. You heard about some of these nurses who went down and gave their time for a small, desperately sick village. These nurses paid their own way to serve, love, and teach some mothers and their children in a poor Guatemalan village about health and hygiene. And as we tell, we do an important service to those around us. Our telling can not only raise hope and build faith, that can also stir up new vision. Right? We need that. We need that in our society. We need that in our country. New vision for what God can do. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? How has he equipped you with skills and resources? Each of us has our own special skills and resources. What are yours? Perhaps spend some time today thinking about that. And how can you use those specific skills and resources? What are your gifts? Even you young people, right? Especially you young people. What do you have in you? You love to do. God, how can I use video gaming to bless your kingdom? That sounds funny. It's not funny. It's real. It's real, man. That is a real thing. The video gaming community. How can you be a blessing to people that you're interacting with online? How can you be a blessing to people at your school? How can you use me and the things that I love to bless your kingdom? Be praying for that, and God will show you some really creative ways. Creative ways for you to bless and serve others. How can you share those skills and resources with those in need right here in Orange County and also around the world? There are some big needs around the world. And even for the young people, there are young people all around the world in desperate need of resources, of water, of toys, of clothing, but you know, also of the hope that you guys have, right? That we have in Christ. How can we share that? How can we spread that to those in great need? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for a chance to gather, to hear your word that tells us to sing your praise of adoration, to sing your praise because you are praiseworthy. Help us, Lord, as we listen to the psalmist who tells us to proclaim, to rub the surface of things, to get down to the things that are true and past the things that seem true but that are lies about not only ourselves but our culture and our country and the time we serve in. Help us to rub down the surface of things to the truth, Father, to proclaim what is true. And thirdly, Lord, help us be people that tell, that sing, proclaim, and tell of the great things that you are doing. We here are witnesses, first and secondhand witnesses, of the strength of our beautiful, restoring God and Father. Help us not give in to the hopelessness of the world around us and the rhetoric, the hopeless rhetoric. Help us not give in to that. But help us be people that are about telling of the good things that are happening, the good things that you're doing. And help us to be people that give of ourselves for your kingdom because we love you. In Christ's name, amen.